Let's welcome him.
Praise God. God bless you. Church, won't you stand to your feet one more time? We're just going to lift up our hands and our hearts to him again. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of God in this house. Thank God for the apostolic move and spirit worship. Amen. Won't we continue in that vein right now in the name of Jesus Christ? Won't you just reach over next to somebody and begin to pray? Lock up with that brother or sister. Just begin to pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord. We need you. God, we can do nothing without you. By your power, your might, your spirit, through your grace, in Jesus' name, loose your anointing. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. You could be seated again. I give honor to Bishop Schoonover and elders here. I don't know many of them. Obviously, I know Brother Johnstone and Brother Hart. He came to visit us, and he actually came to D.C., and my wife and I went to go visit him and his wife and family while they were in D.C. and developed a great bond there. And well, hello to my friend Mark in the back. I remember he came to visit us in Baltimore and helped us out with our technology. I think we're a little bit more advanced now, Brother Mark, just a little. So I think we have it all together now. Then it's a wonderful church family. It's good to see friends that I haven't seen in a while, new faces, Brother Miko. And wow, what an awesome presence of God in this house. Tremendous worship. Amen. Do not take that for granted. Amen. You need to hold on to that. As I traveled here on the left coast and just trying to feel my way out and feel things out, and you have something special here. Amen. It is my understanding, it has been brought to my attention that Washington, the state of Washington, is the most unchurched state in all of the United States. And but that doesn't stop God for what God desires to do. Amen. That means you can have much more of an impact. Amen. There's not a lot of clutter, if you will. Now, you are quite different than Baltimore. We're probably the most over-churched city in the world. And I mean it sincerely. You can go from block to block and street to street and find two or three churches easily right next to each other. There's one community that's called Church Square, and it's just a place where you can go and find any type of worship you want, and I'm talking about within the realms of Christianity. And so there's a lot of clutter and things of that nature. So you have an opportunity to stand out, and you take advantage of that full opportunity. Amen. Praise God. I do have something I feel I would like to communicate. I don't know what your typical format is for a Sunday morning. We in Baltimore, we typically use that as a time of evangelism and reaching the lost, and the evening services. We do have evening services in Baltimore, and we use that as a time to minister and talk to the church. And then there's discipleship classes going on throughout the week and things of that nature. So I don't know what your format is. I do understand that this is a united service for Life Church. Amen. And I do feel life here as well. That's a good thing. Amen. So it's good to see you all, brothers and sisters, coming together and traveling, you know, from the east part of Washington State or over here to the west part. And I believe in the bonds of unity and the bond of the spirit. And again, what a wonderful thing you have here this morning. Please do not undervalue what God is doing here in this local body. It may seem small and insignificant, but you are making a great impact in the spirit, in the spirit realm. I'm telling you, a wonderful presence of God. And I believe I'm here in the will of God. And I believe God desires to minister and to communicate. And I just want to say, regardless of the format that you're normally in, I do believe this particular ministry that and word that God has given is something that he desires to have an impact on this entire body, regardless of whether you're in West, East, or Kent, North. All right, Ken, it's north of us. All right, I believe God has something for each and every one. Could you look at your neighbor and say, God has something for you? Look at somebody else and then get with the program. That's all right. Amen. So how many are going to preach with me this morning? What I mean by that, I don't necessarily, I don't look for a verbal response or whatever. I just want you to respond to the Spirit and to the Word of God, because there must be an amen in you, whether you say it verbally or whatever. There must be an amen in you when God is ministering and communicating with thus saith the Lord. And I believe, how many believe that God is still in control? Amen. How many believe every time we come together, God has something that he desires to impart? And it is up to me to open up my spirit, open up my heart, open up my ears, get in tune with the Spirit of God, that I can receive everything that God has intended for me to receive. Amen. You have to make a conscious decision to open your spirit up. And because we go through life and we go through our week and we go through our routine, and because of what we see and we encounter out there, it causes us to close our spirits up, because we understand that we want to be detached from the spirit of this world. But when we come to the church of God, we must open our spirits back up to him. All right, now I'm going to try to be nice. We'll try to be kind. But you know who my father is spiritually. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. I don't know whether you stand here during the, do whatever you normally do. And I imagine when you have a visiting preacher, you look over at the bishop and you look over at your leaders and say, are they okay? Are they in the word? So don't look at them. Look at me. I'm preaching this morning. He can straighten it out and they can straighten it out when I get out of here. Amen. My plane leaves tomorrow. They can fix everything I mess up. So anyway, Luke chapter 4, verses number 1 through verses number 14. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse number 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that, well, the other verse says that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, but this version says, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. In the book of Matthew, it says, an exceeding high mountain. And he showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. The devil said, if you will worship me, I'm going to give you some things. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem. He set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse number 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy of the Spirit into Galilee. I want to preach to you on this subject: dimensions and dominion. If we take a careful note at the passage of scripture that I just read, we find that this was right after Jesus was baptized in water, and the Holy Ghost fell down upon him and descended upon him and abode and remained upon him. And it was at that particular moment that Jesus went up, the Bible says, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Before Jesus' baptism, if you will, and his spirit baptism and water baptism, the man Christ Jesus' life was one of obscurity. We all know that. But after his conception, he did not display any evidence of any deity or divinity. There was no sign that he was of something supernatural. If you wouldn't have known that his conception was supernatural just by his everyday life. We hear about his pilgrimages to Jerusalem and at the age of 12 speaking to the doctors, but there was nothing supernatural in within itself about what transpired there, and there was nothing abnormal, so to speak. And his family trade, we hear about that as he grows up, and we understand his trade and the area of carpentry, if you will, and then we find out that he read as a young man in the synagogue where he was raised, and he would stand up and he would read the scriptures, but there was nothing else. There was nothing more. There was nothing going on in this time of obscurity that you can take note of and say that there was no signs, no wonders, no authoritative commands given. There was no ministries and no miracles being wrought, and there was nothing going on, so it seemed. And however, after his baptism, after he was submerged in water, and after the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and then when he began to move, we saw a notable dimension that Jesus stepped into. I want to relate this to you and I, if you will. And Jesus, after his baptism and after he received the Holy Ghost, he had to begin to move to where God was directing him. If there's anybody in here who has not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost or have not been baptized in Jesus' name, it is the will of God. It is the purpose of God. How can we follow him if we don't start in the same place that he started in? And that's just quite simple. But the scripture tells us that when Jesus, after he was baptized, he began to move. He began to move. It is critical because I've been in Pentecost for 26 years. I don't know how long I've been in the apostolic movement, but I've been in Pentecost for a while, and I do understand that even though you've been baptized and even though you may have received the Holy Ghost, you can become stagnant in your walk with God, and God is not intended for you to stand still. He intends for us to keep moving. I like a church that's on fire. I like a church that's determined, hey, I am not going to sit back and wait for something to happen. I'm going to be a part of something happening. Many people want things to happen in their lives. They don't understand. You can't just sit back and wait. If you have faith, faith will cause you to move. Don't tell me you don't have faith if you can't get up. Don't tell me you have faith when the choir is singing and the Shekinah glory is falling and you're just standing there. I had my eyes closed, so I don't have any targets. But God desires for us to move. He made that a mandate at the very beginning. When the Bible says the earth was void and it was full of darkness, the scripture says God
begin to move upon the face of the waters. He said, I want to let you know, it doesn't matter how dark things get, I'm going to be determined that I am going to move in the midst of darkness. He let us know we must move. A dimension is any aspect, feature, or quality of any problem, situation, or circumstance. It's an expression of a derived quantity and an extent of any measure. And so Jesus was beginning to move into a dimension that you can quantify and that you can measure. Let me tell you, this is important because God measures everything. And everything in God can be measured. Everything in God can be qualified, and everything in God can be quantified. You and I are called to examine where we are, but we spend too much time looking where our neighbor is. We need to take a hard look, and I'm trying to be hard. Hopefully this is okay, Bishop. You can straighten it all out. I'm here, if you would allow me, I'm here to challenge the church, and I'm here to challenge the church to say, there's something beyond where we are. There's something better that God has for us. Hey, these walls are not big enough for us. Those three churches are not big enough. I'm telling you, God desires for us to take this area, not by force, nor by might, but by his spirit. But we need to understand we have to move. It's not enough for Bishop Schoonover to move. It's not enough for Pastor Hart to move, I can call him that. It's not enough for Pastor Johnstone to move. It's not enough for the elders to move. Everybody in God's body need to be moving in unison, in sync, walking where God desires us to walk. Amen. And so, because everything in God can be quantified and measured, we move into certain dimensions. And is it therefore important? Because the Bible says that we are saved by faith. And it is that very thing that will take us from where we are in this natural realm and will send us into a realm that we have not seen. And it is faith, but faith can be measured. I got a question for you. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, are you still relying on that same level of faith? The Bible says we go from faith to faith, and faith can be measured. You can have a little faith. You can have great faith. You may not even have any faith at all. There was one time Jesus said, you have no faith, to his disciples. Another time he says, you have little faith. As a matter of fact, then he looked at a centurion and said he had great faith. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want Jesus to look outside of the church to see faith. I want him to have it right here where God said, I want to dwell. Oh, hallelujah. Faith can be measured, and I want to see my faith increase, and I want to see my faith growing. I can't worry about what somebody else is doing. I want to see if I'm moving in God, because hey, non-dimensional is when a single point has no extent in any direction, and so a single point on this place is non-dimensional. In other words, it hasn't moved. We must go from point A to point B, from point B to point C, from point C to point D. I must see progression in my life. It doesn't matter whether you've been saved for 3 months or 6 months or 6 years or 20 years. I see some people, they just begin to sit back in the saddle just because they've been living for God for 30 years. No, we need to still keep moving. That's right. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hopefully I'm not sounding rough. Just help me out. But we grow in grace. Grace. We're saved by grace through faith. And so these are important elements. I can't be satisfied. Well, the grace of God. Well, let me tell you something. Some people just claim that the grace of God is just God's unmerited favor. But when you look at that word, it's God's influence upon the heart. It's what God can do in our lives. And I want to see the grace of God increased in my life. I want to see his influence in me change from day to day. When I first came in this thing, when I was first baptized, there were some other things that had more influence in my life. There were some friends and some peers and some mindsets that had to be changed. And the more I grew in grace, his influence empowered me to live like he desired for me to live. And so the Bible says mercy and peace can be multiplied. I see so many people stressed out, good-meaning Christians, just don't know what to do. It's the will of God for us to live in peace. When things are going chaotic and there are earthquakes and storms, and I know you guys don't experience any of that in Seattle. I don't know what you guys have. Y'all have volcanoes? Really? I hadn't seen that on the news. Must be those little geysers. And so we are, and we can measure exactly where we are in God. But too many of us, we can't measure ourselves by ourselves. And I can't measure where I am by looking at brother Schoonover, and vice versa. He can't measure himself by looking at me, because you know that's very easy. I can always find, you know, that's how it is. We're going to look at the lowest common denominator and say, oh, I must be doing okay. Well, look at her. She's struggling really bad. Oh, my goodness. And then we look at ourselves and say, well, I'm fine. When we look at others and we see where others are, and we're going to look, like I said, find the lowest common denominator, and then what that will cause us to do is stop in our tracks and say, well, look where they are. They got a long way. I'll just sit here and relax and wait for them to catch up with me, knowing Sister Susie will never catch up with you. And so here we are. This is where God is calling us, don't tell me that it's too difficult to live for God. I'm sorry, you came too late for that. So many people say, oh, it's hard to live for God. It's so difficult to live for God, and I don't know why God is so cruel, and I don't know why the people of the world have it so good, and we poor apostolic. Am I being mean? I don't know. I'm not trying to be mean. You understand? That's the mindset that we're having. And it looks like everybody else is doing well. Everybody else is having fun. And you know, it's hard to be an apostolic child of God. Let me tell you something. My Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me. Hey, he said, it's easy and it's light. It's not hard living for God. Hey, sister, God bless you with that beautiful child. Amen. Good to see you. And so here we are. Jesus began moving into the dimensions that God desired when he did what? He just started to walk. Living for God is not complicated. If you can walk, you can live for God. If you can get from point A to point B, you can live for God. Don't let the devil tell you living for God is hard. All you have to do is decide, I'm going to pick up my feet, I'm going to take a step, and I'm going to keep walking. Walking is easy when you understand you just take step by step. You say, but brother, I don't walk like the other brother. I don't walk like this sister. Don't judge somebody. Come here, brother, just stand up. Let me see. See, he got that. Oh, yeah. See, come on up here. Let me get somebody else. Come on up here. Uh-huh. Yes, Zach. You all right? Can you walk? You all good? All right. Okay. Let me see. You good? Okay. Let me get somebody. Sister, can I get you? You mind? Yes, you. It's always the one that look the opposite way. They know that I'm talking about you. All right. Stand right here. Now, just do me a favor. I want each of you to walk over there towards that wall. Just walk. Just walk. Now notice that. Man, you guys walk. Y'all just the best walkers I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to bring y'all to Baltimore to show people how to walk. You see, in Baltimore, you know, they walk with pants hanging down here and walking like penguins. But if you careful note, you will see that each of them had a different gait. They walked differently. It looked like the sister was deciding, you know what? She had that, you know, that feminine thing was like, they're not going to win. Brother there, he said, well, you know what? Maybe they're looking. I got to be cool. Ladies, I'm single. I think. I didn't see any ring. Brother there, all he was trying to do is make sure he got over there safely. Thank you. You can be seated. But that was easy. Don't let the adversary tell you you can't live for God. Young people in here, I know there's a lot of peer pressure, but don't let the people out there tell you you can't live for God. Surely you can. You find somebody that's walking the way that you want to walk, and you decide, I don't care how far behind, but if I can keep my eyes on them, I'm going to keep walking. It's easy as taking one foot, lifting it up, putting it down in another spot. If you can lift your foot up and put it down in another spot, you can live for God. It's that easy. That's the first dimension in living for God. Just simply learning how to walk. And you take that baby and she's just kissing. Oh, wow, you're taking all the kisses. Now, you don't expect that baby. You're carrying that baby around. But at some point, he's going to start walking. He won't do it too well. He'll stumble. He'll fall. Grandmama will be right there to pick him up again. And if grandmothers had it their way, that baby would never walk on their own. And they would carry him around everywhere, showing that baby off. But dads understand and pop-pops understand. You pop-pop? You pop-pop. Good man. Understand, hey, if you're going to get somewhere, eventually you have to learn how to take some steps. You may stumble. You may fall. The righteous man falls 7 times, but guess what? He decides, you know what? I'm going to get back up again. Let me tell you, if you just start living for God, don't beat yourself up. Just get back up on your feet and say, I'm going to keep walking again. I know I can make it. I know I can do it because I can take step by step. That's a dimension. That's faith. We need to do and walk in that particular dimension, in that area of faith. But we need to understand God desires to move us from that dimension into another. Now, if I am living for God for 10 or 20 years and I'm still trying to decide how I'm going to do this thing, I don't expect, sister, how old are you? Huh? 12? Can you walk? I didn't want to, you know, I wasn't picking or whatever. Now, won't you stand up for me? Now, do me a favor. Now, I'm going to, you guys are having fun. You guys having fun yet? Amen. All right, it's okay to have fun in church. I know, look, if they can have fun, a few miles over in Seattle, acting like a bunch of nuts, hello, and it's okay. I like that. I'm going to get back to you. I like that. I like that because I told the bishop and pastor, man, these guys, they, when I come here, it's like everybody's, good evening. How are you doing? We don't speak at all. You know, and it's stoic. And, I like for people to have the liberty to express themselves. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If those folks got that kind of liberty out there at the stadium, woo-wee, we ought to be tearing up the walls. And you pastor here, right? He would have to keep trying to fix everything up and complain. I would rather him complain that chairs are knocked over. And why? Because the presence of God is falling and people are just running all over the place and they're getting something for God. You say, oh, it's not about emotion. I didn't say it was all about emotion, but God has emotion. I know you want to sit down. And it's not all about the emotion. I understand. understand it's not all about emotion. But God, you listen to the attributes of God. And he said, I'm a jealous God. And you get to hearing about God. He gets angry and he's love. He's identified with emotions. And the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord. And that's why it says jump for joy, leap for joy, and clap your hands. And don't tell me you're full of God when you decide I can't move, because God desires for us to move. That's why we ought to have more movement in here than they do in that stadium. I don't even know the name of your stadium over there, but I guess it doesn't matter. See, they're the 12th man, I guess, right? That's called the 12th man, right? But for you don't have to wait that long. You can get locked in with the first man. That's Jesus. And so here we are. Sister, I want you to do this. I don't know if I'm going to make it to my... It's going to embarrass you. Do you have y'all live streaming anything like this? Okay, so I was going to tell you pause that she might feel embarrassed. I want you to get down. Get down on your knee. Do a little crawl. Can you crawl? Told you I was going to embarrass her. Just take a few crawls. Now, see, y'all laughing. Go ahead. She said, I'm only going to take two. I ain't going to be that bad. Now, what? You don't expect a 12-year-old to continue crawling. Let me help you up, sister. But you expect her to be able to walk and walk on her own. And say, I got this. What, your mother, your mommy, you want your mommy to walk you and hold your hand? You know, once you get 12, you know, come on, don't do that. Don't embarrass me. I can do this thing. Thank you very much. That's what I'm talking about. We need to decide that we have to look and examine ourselves and see where we are. But let me tell you, that is the first dimension that God has for you. Once you establish a walk, you need to say, I need to know not how I can continue not to trip up. And not whenever you keep trying to not trip up, you trip up. I always, when I take coffee upstairs, oh my goodness, and I love that Seattle brew. If you against coffee and all that, I'm sorry, forgive me. But, you know, some people have a religion against coffee, and if I'm saying something that whatever the case may be, but it's in the Bible, he brews. Right? He didn't finish. Sometimes God don't finish everything out, but he brews coffee. And whenever I'm taking my coffee upstairs, I learned to do this. I have to be up full, right? And I've learned when I try to not spill it, I spill it. But now I've learned a trick. I can turn the lights out, and I can walk up on my step because I'm not even looking at trying to mess up. And when I don't focus on messing up, I can get it right. And too many of us focus on not messing up, and then we mess up. It's just something within our psyche and something within our nature. And it's like that with football players. I know, you know, this is the God that you don't like or whatever, but I like football. I don't like the Steelers, but I like football. I'm from Baltimore, you see. You don't know about that robbery. Somebody will educate you later. But and so here it is. And I understand that in order to walk, I must not focus on messing up. When I played football and I played basketball, a little softball, and the idea was to get your mind off of messing up, because then you have a lack of confidence. And so that's why when Jesus began to move, he began to move in that dimension by faith. When walking, trying to not mess up is not faith. And so you begin to walk by faith and allow yourself to be led by his spirit. And so you need three elements to grow in this dimension. You need to understand that you're not walking to not mess up. You need to understand that you are walking by faith and not by sight. And you're walking in faith and through his word. And therefore, you need to get more into the word of God. And you need to be led by his His Spirit. It's not enough listening to the preacher that's giving the message behind the pulpit. You have to begin to get into the Word of God for yourself, and you have to begin to say, I need to hide the Word of God in my heart that I may not sin against you. The bishop won't be with you. The pastor won't be with you. The pastor's wife won't be with you. You have to allow the Word to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto my path, because it's the Word of God that's going to see you through. I'm telling you what, there is a dearth in the earth and in the church for a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Come on. Amen. And you can see it. At one time, people, I mean, we were called Bible thumpers. You would carry your Bible around everywhere. You know, you walk in this Bible, this big Thompson chain Bible. You guys remember that? You weren't a student of the Word if you didn't have a Thompson chain. It was like 50 pounds heavy, but it didn't matter. You know, and now, because we used to carry the Thompson chain Bibles around, now we walk with that. I saw a bishop walking the other day, yesterday. I was from carrying that Thompson chain around all the time. And so we walk with the Word. And Jesus, this was the way He defeated the enemy in this dimension, because every single dimension has a pitfall. And what the adversary would like for us to do is to decrease our knowledge of the Word of God, and therefore he can trip us up like he did with Eve. And so when you're not educated in the Word of God, and then the devil comes and the bishop is not around and your congregational leader is not around, and you get all tripped up, caught up, and now you feel all bad, now you feel like I can't make it, and now you got to come to counseling sessions again. Why am I keep struggling with this? Because you haven't taken the Word of God and put it in your heart. I'm not rebuking. I'm challenging this church to take the next step where God has for you. And I preached this in my church, and I said, oh my goodness. People were falling out on their face, crying, and booing, oh my God, oh my goodness. But they understand it wasn't a rebuke. They understood that, hey, God is trying to get us to another place. And we all are somewhere in our walk with God. Hey, I'm not trying to say everyone in here is right there, but I'm telling you, somebody in here is in that particular dimension. And God is designed for you to get the Word of God in you. If Jesus could not pass into the next level until he said, hey, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He understood, I need the Word of God in me, and I'll defeat what the enemy is saying in this dimension. And that caused him to move into the next dimension in God. The Bible tells us that as Jesus passed that particular test, he was led into the wilderness, and the Spirit will always lead you where you really don't want to go. And he led him to the wilderness, and then he's been taken up now into a high mountain. And so now he's not, and here we are. See, faith isn't designed for you to walk and by it blindly. Faith is not designed for you to just, okay, where am I going, God? No, faith, we respond to God's Spirit through by being led of it. We listen to his Word and we respond in faith, and faith will take us to a new level. It took him to a high mountain. And that now he's not just walking by faith, but now he's added some vision and some sight to him, and now he can see a little more clearly, simply because he had the Word. It wasn't just by faith, but now he has the Word in him, and now he has some understanding of where he's going, and that's the next level in God. And so you're climbing up higher, you're going to a higher place in him, and now you're able to see things a little more clearly. Before, you couldn't understand what the bishop was saying, and you were just walking and walking blindly. You didn't understand what Brother Hart was saying, and you didn't understand what Brother Johnstone was saying. You did well by listening and walking, but you didn't understand. But sometimes you know how it is, and you didn't understand. Why did he say that like that? No, nobody here. That's what they do in Baltimore. And why did he do that? And I don't quite understand why things. I feel that one. Ooh. Why, Bishop? And sometimes we don't quite get why he's doing what he's doing. See, it always gets quiet when you hit it. These are the leadership, senior leaders. Let me tell you something. The adversary is going to have you. We have an adversary, correct? Yeah. And I don't care how nice these gentlemen and lady is, the adversary is going to have you question their integrity. It's going to have you question their experience or their direction. Well, why is he going in that direction? Well, he maybe he doesn't know. Maybe God just said, come on, go in this direction. God told Abraham, I want you to get out of your family's house and I want you to go to wherever I'm going to show you. Abraham began to move. That was faith. And God did not exactly tell him everything. He gave him his purpose. And God said, hey, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a great nation out of you and I'm going to bless you. And your name is going to be great and people are going to be blessed by you. And whoever blessed you, I'm going to bless them and all these blessings all over the place. And God said, I'm going to do all these things. And Abraham got to moving. He didn't understand everything that was going on. He ended up messing up going down to Egypt and bringing Hagar. And, you know, he didn't quite have his walk down pat just yet. And it was when God began to unveil his plan for him is when Abraham got more of a clearer picture of the will of God. You see, so faith will allow us to get into God's purpose and lead us to God's purpose, but faith alone can't get you there. Now you need a little more knowledge of what God is trying to do. And Abraham came to God, had a conversation, and he said, well, look, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to give me? I go childless, and hey, my servant, he's the one who's going to have to bring up seed. And God says, let me tell you a little bit. Let me give you a little bit of knowledge. And he began to give him knowledge and says, hey, it's going to happen through you. And he got that knowledge. Problem is, when God is imparting knowledge to us, we got to be very careful that we don't take partial knowledge and then try to add to the plan of God. And so here we are. God has given him that knowledge that he needs. That's the next dimension. But we must be careful in this area because too much knowledge sometimes will cause us to, because we know a little bit about what God is trying to do. God has shown us his will and God has shown us his purpose. The purpose was, hey, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. His will was, hey, I'm going to do it through you. But God didn't show him the plan and said it was going to be done through your wife. And so he went and took Hagar. And all this is unfolding. And he's walking in this particular dimension. And another thing we need to be careful, I'm just going to tell you, lay it out. Another thing we need to be careful about in this particular dimension is when the devil took Jesus up to the high mountain and he told him, hey, this is what I want you to do. If you will just worship me, I'm going to give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus was able to defeat the enemy simply by not giving in to tainted worship. Watered down worship. And let me tell you, you ought to, I sat over here and felt the presence of God and through my goodness, you ought to have been on your feet and some of you ought to have been on your faces and tears ought to have been streaming down your faces and hands lifted up and that thing could have gone on and on and on and I wouldn't have had to preach. You must understand the adversary is interested in stealing the praise and the worship from God because he wanted himself. And that's why it's important. And I believe this church is being taught some great things. I sit back and I listen, and some good, powerful people in here. But we need to understand that God is not interested in us just getting knowledge and stopping right there because it's good to have biblical knowledge. Don't get me wrong. And that's the dimension that God wants to get his church. Hey, if we don't have a lack of knowledge, we're going to perish. And if we don't have a knowledge that God desires to give us, but knowledge goes up here. We need to have an understanding of God's word, but we can't allow that understanding to cause us to get stagnated because we you know how it is. When I first started living for God, man, they call us holy rollers. Man, I thought that was kind of neat. See guys roll on the floor and all that. Man, we're too sophisticated for that now, right? And I understand, you know, it's like, man, we were kind of quirky, and it was like we was all almost charismatic. Uh-huh. And see, but we can't do all that stuff anymore. You know, we can't just go crazy. I remember, sister, when bobby pins, you had bobby pin in your head? No, y'all. You don't think so? See, back in the day, you know, women, they had at least had about 50, 60 bobby pins stuck in their head, keep everything together, keep that poof going or whatever. But it didn't last all service. Sister, you know, y'all, if somebody come in here and do all that, y'all, if I send y'all to Baltimore, y'all go, man, epileptic. Are they having a seizure? Medic. No. They just getting lost in the spirit. They just letting go. Hey, they just have a little bit of foolishness. Amen. When you get to a high, we need to be careful when we start getting that knowledge, because our head get puffed up and we start seeing everything. And you know how it is. It was the devil's fault, because he was elevated. He said, I'm going to lift up myself above the stars of the heaven. I'm going to be like the Most High God. And what he was trying to do, too much glory, too much praise, and too much worship was going to God. And he said, I got to get me some of that. And he diverted the praise and the worship from God. When we get into those high places, we must understand that it's through our worship, our humility, that will cause us to be safe in this dimension of knowledge. And we're being lifted up. We've been taken. See, we get taken to higher levels in God in this dimension. Now we become, I don't know what titles are. You know, we get those titles or whatever. And now I'm this and I'm that. And I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about how it is. We ought to have positions and places in the kingdom. I'm not against that. What I'm saying is that sometimes that we get in those areas and we lose sense of who we are and where we come from. And we lose sense because now I'm this particular person. And when I get lifted up, you need to be reminded of where you come from. And that's what worship comes in. That's why you need to get up on your feet. That's why you need to stomp. That's why you need to jump. That's why you need to dance. That's why you need to say hallelujah. Why? Because it's humility. Oh, no, you're not going to make me get up, preacher. You're just trying to get something out of me. You're just trying to rouse me. Oh, no, I'm too sophisticated. Oh, no, I'm too learned. That's for the unlearned. That's for the unsophisticated. Let me tell you something. It's for everybody that's a child of God. Oh, we got to be a worshiping church. We must never lose sight of that. And we don't do anything else. We need to worship God in the house of God. We should always find an opportunity to praise him. It's the dimension that God has for us. You have to remember, that's it. Never let the adversary steal that. Never let them steal your praise and your worship. You have to get the monster. Why? Why? What is it all about? Why? Because it's helping you to get out of your flesh. David, when he became king, he understood, hey, I was out there in the field watching a few sheep, but look at me now. Look at me now, Micah. I know. Look at your father, but look at me. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something. The dignified will look and say, oh, you're just making a fool out of yourself. And he said, I'm going to play even more for the Lord. You think this is vile? Watch this. And that's, oh my goodness, let me tell you something. I believe there's coming a day where the preacher won't be able to preach his sermon or his message or whatever you want to call it, because the people of God understands, if I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. It doesn't matter what I hold, what pedigree I have. I need to understand I'm going to bow before him. I'm going to worship him. We're not going to let him steal the glory of the Lord. Every chance you get, you got to get into that presence. Devil said, if you worship me, I'm going to cause you to compromise. Compromise begin with a lack of understanding of where you come from. And so what the adversary says is, hey, if you worship him, you're not going to be, meaning God, you're not going to get what I'm going to give you. And you're at a position now where you shouldn't be doing that. And no. You see, that's why he fell. And he was trying to get Jesus to fall into that same trap. And Jesus said, "Ho, I want to let you know, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt you serve." And that's how you move into the next dimension. You have an understanding why you had this mental knowledge in your head of the things of God, and God is imparting some things naturally speaking, and you're learning the word of God and how God is designed to do things and what God is trying to do in your life. You have to always have a form of humility. Because now if you fall, it's one thing if you fall trying to learn how to walk. You're on the ground. You're on the low plane. You're on the first dimension. And trying to fall now, it's not that costly. But when God starts to elevate you and you get higher and higher, and then when you begin to fall, it's much more detrimental to you. You can be seated. And so we move on. Hopefully it's okay. If it's not, clean it up. And so we move on. I'm trying to take my time, but I'm trying to rush on. The problem is we see in part, and we know in part. And the way God works, he only reveals a little bit at a time. And what happens is we'll see a little glimpse of what God is. He'll show us just one little thing, and we get knowledge of one thing. And again, if we're not careful, we take that one thing, and we try to we'll get in God's place, and then we'll be able to allow ourselves to be tempted to compromise, because now that I have knowledge, I'm just going to run away, and I'm just going to go for it. And then God loses the praise and the glory that's intended for him, because that's what the devil tried to do. It says, the kingdoms of this world, I'll give you the authority, I'll give you the glory of them. They're yours. You can have them. And so he's stealing the glory that's supposed to be of God. And we see all that, and we understand that the glory belongs to him and to him only. And now God is trying to get us into another place. And when I understand that worship and praise and everything else, because let me tell you, now I think I sat around with him, and, you know, you have some pretty intelligent people here. Guy back there in the booth, you know. Yes, and I'm sure, you know, pretty smart people, you know. I believe that. But when we get to heaven, and we only know in part and see in part, but when we get to heaven, we're going to know everything. We're going to know all the mysteries. And the funny thing about that, and when we begin to know all the mysteries in heaven, you'll see that praise and worship didn't decrease just because of knowledge. It increased. And so your knowledge ought to cause you to praise him even more. Mm-hmm. And that will take you to this next dimension in God. And maybe you say, "Well, I'm beyond all that." And well, let me talk to you then. Maybe you're here. And after Jesus went up into a high mountain, the Bible says that he went down to the city of Jerusalem, and more specifically, to the temple. And this represented relationship. This represented revelation. And this represented intimacy with God. This is the place where God said he would dwell in. And so now it's not about climbing high. Now it's about going down low. Now you're moving to a dimension where it's not about altitude. Now it's about depth. And so now you're moving into the deep things of God. And before I was getting some knowledge of some things, and getting knowledge is okay, but that's on the mind. But God wants to take us further to now it's not just mind. Now it's just not reading the word of God. And reading the word of God is good because it gives you biblical knowledge. But there's another dimension for us to get to. Now it's not just me. And this, here we are, because Now you say, Pastor, I don't understand that. Bishop, I don't understand this. And now you begin to get an understanding, but then God begins to give you revelation when you begin to go to the next dimension. Now it's not knowledge in the mind, it's revelation in your spirit. And what you couldn't understand in your mind, now God is putting it in your spirit. You can't figure it out, and you can't explain it, and you can't answer it, but it's right there. Sometimes your pastor may not be able to articulate what God is trying to do, but he got a revelation from God. Because in this dimension, that's where the deep things happen. And we got to get past our, again, trying to not sin and not mess up. And then we got to get past getting from to the place of just gaining knowledge. And we should gain knowledge because we need to add knowledge to faith. And we need to go on from faith and virtue and get some knowledge. But then God desires for us to learn some deep things in him. And sometimes people think the deep things are for the pulpit ministry, the fivefold ministry, the clergy, which I hate that word. But these areas are not for a special group of people. There are men and women out there that God desires to show you some things. So you can say, Pastor, guess what God showed me? I was struggling with that, but now I understand. I understand some deep things in God. I hope you're not getting bored with this. I hope God is trying to tell you, hey, I want more. Is there anybody hungry for more of God? You cannot be satisfied with where you are. I cannot be satisfied with where I am because God is trying to take me into deeper places with him. And every day, every time I wake up, I need to hunger for the word of God. I need to hunger to have a relationship with God. This is that place where I'm not satisfied with just hearing the scripture. I need to get on my knees and I need to pray. Some of you remember, we used to get on your knees every day, every morning. You were late before the Lord. And now we don't want to get wrinkled. Now we're getting too old. Now our backs hurt. I'm telling you what, get on the floor and break your back, God will touch it. Now you got to tell me if I'm being mean. You'll tell me if I'm being mean. I'm not being mean, but I'm challenging you. Why? Because God desires for this church to impact this area. Yes, and Seattle too. Seattle might be a hard nut to crack, but it can be cracked. Is anything too hard for God? I don't care how difficult Seattle is. If they can shout and scream and act like a bunch of nuts in that stadium, what can God do with them? There's more power in this place than in that stadium. Oh. They say that stadium makes so much noise, and I believe that. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. I said one to put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000 to flight. I'm telling you what, when the people of God begin to break the sound barrier, something will go out of this place and it will shake every city around here. It will shake Seattle. People don't know why, but they'll begin to repent. They don't know why, but they'll get connected with the people in God. Because we've decided to get into the deep things in God. It can't just be him who's filling out the spirit and end up going this way or that way, and God leads him to the person. And the brother here, when God, he begins to move around and God is directing him, he may not know why he decided, I'm going to go this way today. And next thing you know, he's talking to someone. Next thing you know, there's a connection. And next thing you know, there's a Bible study. Next thing you know, God is moving. But if everybody in this room can get to that dimension where they're sensitive to the spirit of God. You obviously won't be able to have your next meeting here. Anybody believe God? But just like the adversary will show up, when you go to a high place, you better believe the adversary is going to show up. When you go to a high dimension, oh, he's coming. But guess what? The devil comes to church also. He took Jesus to the temple and told him, Cast yourself down from the pinnacle. Cast yourself down right here in the temple. What he was saying is, you can get to a place in God where you can take charge of your life. And he was saying that you get to this place in God, you can do things and God will have your back no matter what. Let me tell you, this is a dangerous dimension, because I'm telling you, you need to get spiritual. You need to get connected with God. You need to get in the place of communion and talking and having a relationship with God that goes further than walking and goes further than climbing to areas of position in the church. Goes into a place of relationship where you're walking. Now you can sense what God is trying to do. Listen to this, because we think the things of God is just for the pulpit ministry. The Bible tells us, but as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, and the things that are prepared, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. And we always stop right there. Well, not always. I hear a lot of people stop right there. I have not seen. And they try to say it's more that God has that we just don't know about. Ear have not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God had prepared for him. God has so much for you, you just can't fathom. And he just stopped right there, and it's just out there in some nebulous blue. No, my Bible says this, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yay! The Spirit searcheth all things. Yay! The deep things of God. When I get to this dimension, now God has given me some deep things in his Spirit. Hey, it can't be given by knowledge. It can't be given by a walk. It has to be in the depth of him through revelation. Now this God has given me some revelation. Now it's not about understanding with my mind, but oh, God is revealing some things. Abraham got a little knowledge, and it got him into trouble. He took Hagar, his wife's servant, and messed some things up. Now it's a whole area and a whole region that's messed up today. And now here we are. And so God said, okay, I haven't forgotten. I haven't given up. I haven't said, no, it's too late now. And God said, I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. And so even in your mess up, I told you what my promise is. I told you what my purpose is. I gave you a glimpse and some knowledge. And you messed up, but don't worry. I still have a plan for you. And then now he knew God's purpose. He found out God's will. Now God said, this is my plan. And when God told him, this is what I'm going to do, he began to reveal. God said, hey, I can't hide this thing from Abraham. You know, the Bible says God showed up in a theophany, and he appeared to Abraham, and Abraham dropped everything, got all nervous. Like, what's going on? God showed up in a physical form, and God began to reveal some deep things. And it was so deep, Sarah laughed in the, are you kidding me? This is impossible. But God began to reveal his plan. No, it's through Sarah. You're going to have a seed. This is 13 years later. It's no way this is going to happen. And God said, this is how I'm going to do it. It's some deep things in God, because God says, I'm the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And God begins to show us some deep things. But we need to be careful, because you know how it is. And this is where some of us get afraid. I believe many of us are right here. But we get afraid because we don't want to seem kind of kooky and spooky, and you know, and so we got to remain out and well. And let me tell you something, that hinders the supernatural realm of God. It's okay, as I said, to have knowledge and but God desires for us to move into a dimension, and you know, God is able to keep you grounded. You know, when you have a relationship with him, because this dimension is about relationship. When you've walked with him in the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, and then you have knowledge of the Word. And so you have the Spirit, you have Word, you have leadership that's going to watch over you. And it's okay to move into this dimension, because they know how to say, hey, you're going out there now. And so you have your safety net to try to keep you okay. But see, some of us don't, we don't want to be far out. I believe God has given some of you dreams and revelation and all that, but you're scared to tell people. God said, hey, this is what I want to do in you. And you think, oh, that's just me being high and mighty. No, it's not you being high and mighty. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you just lift your hands up right here? You right here. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to follow where those young guys are going. Hey, Yehakaraha Mahasata Mahaseando Matayando Mohosuta Yitarunda la 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 Mohosata Bahaya. Y'all can look up there at him and see whether everything is okay. Let me tell you something. I think some people have callings in here. It's time for you to step into your callings. It's time for you to step into your ministry. It's time to step into your areas that God has ordained. God has purpose for you. Don't be afraid. God will bear you up. See, some of us think we're going to fall. We get way out there. No, you're going to be all right as long as you stay grounded, as long as you keep a covering. Come on, that's it. Come on, are you willing to go to another place? Are you willing to go to a spiritual dimension? Somebody need to break past that first dimension. Somebody need to break past that second dimension. Somebody need to be determined. I'm going to another dimension in God. Devil, look out. I'm telling you what, it's there. Come on, sir. God is trying to take you from the second dimension to the third. Stand on your feet. Can I get one of the brothers to pray with him? God is trying to take him from the second dimension and to the third right now. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on. God is trying to take somebody into another place in him. Dare to go where God is trying to get you to go. Don't fear it. Don't hesitate. Come on, that's it, church. Come on, don't be afraid. In the name of Jesus, let's break past this normal complacency. We need to move into a realm where the Spirit. Shando Roho to Moho Satabaha. Sheyatabahaya. Come on, we're an apostolic church. We don't just have good music. We don't just have good preaching. We are the Spirit entity of God. There's revelation in the name of Jesus. There's impartation. There is unexplainable. Come on. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I'm willing to go where God is trying to get me to go. I'm not going to let anything hold me back. Come on, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Praise God. Jesus. Shandalala Mohosaya. Come on, don't be afraid of that, sir, ma'am. God is trying to take you. Come on, to another place in him. Don't be comfortable where you are. In the name of Jesus, don't be satisfied with taking baby steps. Somebody need to walk like a giant and decide, I'm going to step out of the boat like Peter. I'm going to walk on water. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, they that know that God shall do exploits. Mighty church, rise up in the West Coast. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about everything that's going on in California. God wants to see that happen in Washington. Jesus' name. Praise God. Just be seated. I'm almost done. I have one more. It's amazing. I just thought about something. You know, we're the Maryland, D.C. district. And we have 30-something churches in the Maryland area, maybe a total of 50-something altogether if you count some of the daughter works or satellite ministries. But in Washington, D.C., we have one. It's Brother Staten. One work. And then that's it. One work. One, just like in Seattle. Has one work. And you said this is the most unchurched state. And I believe there's a lot of churches in D.C., but there's not a lot of UPC churches in D.C. Only the one.
Only the one. And we're the Maryland, D.C. I believe God is wanting to, because when the revival that, I believe a revival, end time revival is coming that will impact this nation. And the two areas that are the hardest, Washington on the West Coast and Washington, D.C. on the East Coast. But I believe God is going to break that thing. But he's going to break it when we decide to move into a realm and a dimension. We're not going to get it done, folks, by our entertainment. We're not going to get it done by, I know we're on the other side of the tracks now. And I know where we come from as a Pentecostal movement. But we're not going to get it done by that. Hey, don't think that we have to be like them and act like them and be sophisticated like them, because that's not going to get it done. It was a bunch of unlearned fishermen and some tax collectors and anybody like that. They were the ones that turned the world upside down. And so with this area, there's also a pitfall, is that you get too deep without being grounded in the word and without having the proper covering and without learning God and knowing him and walking with him and everything else. The adversary will try to get you to step out there and do something outside of the covering. And that's why you need the covering. You get out there all spooky and try to do stuff that's far beyond your pastor, you need to let them pull you back in. You see, that's how the adversary try to get Jesus. You know what? You're deep, but won't you go a whole lot deeper? Why don't you throw yourself down? Go deeper than where you are. Take control of your life. And if you do that, that didn't catch Jesus up, because he understood, I'm not going to tempt God. You see, when you get to a place of this, in this particular area and this particular dimension, it will cause you, if you're not careful, it will cause you to go into places where God won't cover. And you're so deep, and that's why you need to make sure you stay under proper covering. And you may not be able to understand why this. You may feel like they're holding you back. No. They're keeping you safe. And so I want to talk to you about this last dimension in God. It's a dimension like none other. And you know, you're experiencing relationship. And many will say, what's greater than relationship with Jesus? You know how we say it. And it's through every movement, every denomination. You know, it used to be just us saying it. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Right? It was just, that was our Pentecostal. But everybody's taking it now. You know, we'll say, all those other religions and all those the other denominations, you see, that's religion, and they go by tradition and all that. Well, they're saying the same thing. So people don't understand. Well, they said the same thing you just said. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. I'm going to tell you, it's more than about relationship. I knew it would get quiet. I said it's more than God desires to take you further than relationship. You say, well, how can that be? I got a question for you. Did Judas have a relationship with Jesus? I think he did. As a matter of fact, just as he was about to betray Jesus, Jesus called him a friend. That's a relationship. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Do you know Judas was casting out devils just like Peter, James, John? You know, Judas was going around healing people, and he was going around preaching the word. He was one of the 12. Amen. He had a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Having a relationship with Jesus, I'm sorry, it's not the end all, because you can have a relationship. Your relationship can be strained. Relationship denotes association. And relation. You see, but there's another place we can go in God that goes further than relationship, and that is union. Now it's just not me having a relationship with God, but I'm being one with him. You see, Jesus, after he went to the temple, the Bible says he returned. Now he's coming back. And he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. He went up with the power of the Holy Ghost in him. He left
where he was after baptism, and the Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost and was led of the Spirit. He went away being baptized and having the Holy Ghost in him. You may have the Holy Ghost in you, but I want to know, are you in the Holy Ghost? You may have the power of the Holy Ghost in you, but are you in the power of the Holy Ghost? That's the question I have, and that was the next dimension. It was not just a relationship. It was a union. The Bible says that I'm in the Father, Jesus said, and the Father is in me. He said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. And Jesus said it this way. Hey, now when we receive the Holy Ghost is in us. Doesn't mean I'm in the Holy Ghost. I can walk around. I have the Holy Ghost, and if I do my sha-la-la-la-la-la-la on Christmas, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, it doesn't mean that I'm in the Holy Ghost. You hear some people, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la-la-la, their foot get tapped the same, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. I got the Holy Ghost. And living, you know how it is, and then living their life any way they want to. Y'all got a few more minutes. Just a couple. Because God desires to take us to the next level. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is within me. And I'm glad that I learned how to walk with God where I don't have to worry about. And I'm glad that God has taken me to some places where God began to show me his word. And I'm glad I had a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. And I studied the word of God. And I'm glad I've gotten to a place where I can have some revelation and understanding. But I want to be one with him. What are you talking about? I'm talking about whenever he speaks, I speak it. Whatever he say, I say. Wherever he goes, I go. Whatever he does, I will do. God wants to take us to that area. When he's speaking, we're saying. When he's doing, we're doing. When he's ready to heal, we're touching. When he's ready to minister, we're ministering. We're one with him in the Spirit. That's the dimension. God is trying to get the apostolic church, not just the pulpit, but the apostolic church, that now we're walking in. And you know why we don't see as many miracles? Because we think we got to bring them all. And I believe there's power that resonates inside of the church building when we all get together, because there's so much faith and so much expectation and things of that nature. And so we can see the supernatural and miraculous working in the church because it's that faith is built up. But when we get out there amongst them, because they're responsible for helping to bring that faith, lifting that faith up in the congregation and all that. But brother, you can take what you have and to go into areas that won't accept him, that won't accept him. And God desires to use your hands and your feet. And God desires to use your hands and your feet and your hands and your feet and everybody in here, where we can impact this world, we can impact our cities, and we can impact our communities, we can impact our neighborhoods, and we can impact our workplaces. And when we go to the grocery stores and, God forbid, McDonald's and all those other type of places. And that's where God, I believe, is trying to get us to, that particular dimension. This is where the supernatural takes place. It's called God's dominion. 119 times it is written in just the Gospels alone about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come upon you. That word kingdom means the realm of God. In this particular dimension, it's where his dominion is. It's where he reigned. God is not just interested in filling you with his Holy Ghost. God is interested in where he can reign in your life. You see, I can have the Holy Ghost in me. I can be full of the Holy Ghost and still control a lot of areas in my life. In other words, the kingdom and the dominion and the realm of God is not working where God desires. It's not until I surrender everything unto him. And when I desire and choose and make a decision to surrender my life to him, come in union with him, and next thing you know, the realm of the supernatural is impossible. God dwells, and you can stand, please, to let you know I'm done. So that's a long-winded preacher. I'm not gonna, brother, don't get that guy back in here. Oh, my goodness. That guy's, I don't even know what time it is, but you'll be okay. I'll fly out here and I'll forget all about it. And let me say this. Sometimes this seems so, and it may seem like I'm way out. Maybe your pastors and your bishop, maybe they preach this and all, because I'm telling you, good people, good preaching, powerful ministers, amen, friends, and I know they are apostolic. I said, I know they are apostolic. It's not good enough for the preachers to be apostolic. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about the 2-year-olds. I'm talking about the 5-year-olds. I'm talking about the 10-year-olds. I'm talking about we need to raise our church up to be apostolic. Because chances are, we're going to go home. We're going to get into the routine of our life. And we'll pick back up the next service or the next church function. And we need to have scheduled gatherings, but we don't need to shut down the Spirit of God, the ministry of God, the purpose of God, and the plan of God, because we have to live our lives. Church, I love you. I haven't said anything to try to offend anyone. It's not the intention of my heart. I have preached this in several places, and I've preached it with the intent to challenge the church. Wherever you are, whatever dimension you're in with God, you must decide, God has more for me. God desires more for me. And I'm determined I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm determined I'm going to get to the places that God has for me. Because when I get to where God has for me, it's not a place or destination. My destiny is not here. I hate those preachers talking about God, the devil's trying to keep you from your destiny. No, my destiny is not on this earth. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is within me. But I want to be in the kingdom. I want him to be able to rule and reign. It's not where God is, because God is everywhere all at once. He covers all time and space. In physics, the fourth dimension is endless time combined with endless space. It's a continuum. And that's the fourth dimension. Where any other dimension they claim there's up to 11. I don't know whether they know what they're talking about or whatever. That's what they say, but whatever. But the point is that it's where time is not a factor. It's not, space is not a factor, because God is everywhere at once. He's in all time, everywhere. One day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like one day. That's why he was able to take a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman and say, hey, let me tell you something. This is what I'm able to do. Now she's walking around like she's a 20-year-old. He's walking around like he's a 30-year-old. Next day, you know, I don't know how he did that. I'm 50 with grandchildren. I'm 53 actually with grandchildren. I'm like, oh my goodness, how did I have children like this? Screaming and hollering at my kids, my grandchildren, whatever. And guess what? After Sarah, after Isaac, you know it was supernatural. You'll find out it was supernatural, because he went on having more children. I'm like, what in the world? Because what God did is stepped into time and did something supernatural. I'm telling you, this is the realm of the supernatural. This is the realm where God dwells, where any and all things are possible. Now, we hear about that on the foreign fields. We hear about that from time to time. But God desires this church to move into that dimension where someone will go lay their hands on someone that's out there in the streets and they get here. Won't you just lift your hands up right now? I'm telling you what, I believe it's the will of God to take us into another dimension. Jesus said that I want to dwell in your hearts by faith. And I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. And Paul said, I pray that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints with his breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ will pass of all understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God desires to fill us with all his fullness. Said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church. I'm telling you, we can get to that place in God where God is getting the glory. This is what I would ask for you to do. If you feel like God is talking to you to move into the next dimension from where you are, I want you to step out of your seats. You come down to the altar, fill in the aisles if you need to. Maybe it's only one person, maybe it's only two. I'm not going to be presumptuous and think God is talking to you. But if you feel like God is calling you, God has been telling you, I'm talking about even before I came here this morning, you've been feeling like God has been urging you, calling you, pulling you. Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. There's somebody who hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized, I'm telling you, today is your day. You don't have to wait another moment. God will fill you. God will heal you. God will touch you. Hallelujah. Shanda rohondo lalalabo sanda lalabo hosaya. Come on, that's it.